1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll start there tonight. We're going to finish up this study on what we've been studying about health. And I know we've all joked about it. Seems like there's been a lot more sickness than normally. And so I've said, and others has too, need to hurry up and get done with this before it makes all of us sick. But I don't think that's done that to us, surely not, but maybe made us think about it a little more. But we'll finish up tonight. This is the ninth lesson, and we started right after the new year, best I remember. And so we've had a lot of weather, we've had sickness, we've had all kinds of things, and it's took 4 months to get 9 lessons, if I'm counting right. But we'll finish up tonight, 7 foundations for healthy living. That's what we've been looking at. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's read verse 23 and 24 tonight. To begin with, the Bible said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And I want to read this passage of Scripture reminding us again tonight that we are what's called a tripartite being, which just means we have 3 parts. We're made, the Bible says, in the image of God. And the Bible says that we are made up of 3 parts: our spirit, our soul, and our body. Here in verse 23, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So every one of us, every person, has a spirit and a soul, and then our physical body. Now, our spirit is the eternal part of us. Your spirit's going to live forever somewhere. And if you're saved, you're going to live forever. You have eternal life. If you're lost, you have the sentence of eternal death in you. Every person will exist forever. We'll either be in heaven or we'll be in hell, and then later on the lake of fire, lost people. But our spirit is the part of us that's eternal. It's the saved part of us. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, it's where the Holy Ghost dwells. Your spirit is how the Holy Spirit communicates with you. It's through your spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 16 says, "The Spirit," capital S, "the Spirit itself bears witness," or "beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God." So the Spirit of God does not speak to your flesh. Your flesh is not saved, by the way, but the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit. So our spirit, first of all, and these are in order of importance, by the way, and then it says your soul. Now your soul is the part of you that makes you you. Every one of us, our soul is unique. It's your being. What I mean by that, it's your mind, your will, your emotions. It is you. It's what your soul is. And of course, your soul and your spirit, they remain together. And then your body, that's your physical body. That's the part of us that when we die, we'll be separated from. Your spirit, your soul, will live on, will go on, but your body is just the physical temple, the Bible says. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it's a temporary thing. Now, at the rapture, we'll receive a glorified body, but it'll be changed. It won't be this body, but it'll be a glorified body. It'll be a new body, and it'll be completely different from these bodies. These bodies get sick, they age, they die, they deteriorate. And so we are, though, a 3-part being, having a spirit and a soul and a body. And we've studied so far six of our seven foundations for healthy living. I'm just going to quickly mention what we've studied already. We said, what do we need for healthy living? You need, first of all, pure air. We found all these in the garden, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. You need pure air. You need clean water. All of us, our bodies are made up of water. You need that in order to be healthy. Then we said good food. Now, not just good yummy food, but good for you food. And there's a difference between the two. In fact, a lot of what we eat in America is not really food. It's manufactured. It might taste good, but it's not good for you food. So we need good food in order to be healthy. We need sunshine. We get vitamin D, which is essential to good health, from the sunshine. We need exercise in order to be healthy. We need to exercise these bodies. And once upon a time, you could get all the exercise you needed just from living, because people had to work a whole lot harder than they do now. And they had to sweat and they had to be active. Well, we have to make ourselves be active, because life is so much easier than it used to be once upon a time. But you still need exercise. And then the last time we were here, we said you need rest, and that's important as well. James chapter 1, verse 17, and I read this on Sunday, and I've mentioned it several times. And it's a good passage of Scripture. There's a lot of truth in that, talking about every good and every perfect gift, the Bible says, is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And what we learn is that you can be healthier for free. If we study these things I've already mentioned tonight, that won't cost you any more. You can be healthier for free. Now, you go to the world and want something, and the first thing you'll find out is it's going to cost you a bunch of money. But every good and perfect gift is from above, and it's free. Sunshine, exercise, air, water, all of these things God has blessed us with. Now, I know how people are. First thing they say, I cannot afford to eat healthy. I don't believe that. You know, you go to the grocery store, and the first, after the produce aisle, and I'm thinking about Ingles, that's what the one I know where everything is, but right after the produce, you go around the corner, and you got the potato chips and everything. Boy, aren't those good. Do you know two big bags of potato chips cost $8.50 or $9? Now, I don't know. I just can't agree with somebody that says, I can't afford to eat healthy. I can't afford to eat junk food anymore. That's got the place where it costs too much. Two bags of potato chips cost $8.50 or $9. And a lot of things have gone up, and I know that we realize that. But my argument to somebody to say that is that you and I cannot afford not to make healthier choices. You can't afford to be sick. Start going to the doctor. Start going to the pharmacy. Start missing work because of your health and see how much that costs. So we really cannot afford to be sick is what we can't afford. We can't afford that. Well, the last thing we're going to look at is faith. You have to have faith in your life in order to be healthy. And what I mean by that, God created man upon the earth, and He created us spiritual as well as a physical being. Every person has a physical part, no doubt about that, but we are spiritual beings as well. And we have to attend to that spiritual side of life in order to be whole, in order to be complete, in order to be healthy. Genesis 2 and 7 said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. It doesn't say a living body or a living person, but God referred to that middle part of man, a living soul. We are spiritual beings, and it is foolish for anybody to say that one part doesn't matter. But you know, a lot of times you go, if you went to a doctor and he didn't believe in or see the spiritual side of things, he's only going to treat the physical man. But we need to make sure that the spiritual man is taken care of as well. And so I personally, I want a doctor that recognizes the spiritual as well as the physical, because all these things work together, the spirit and the soul and the body. And so we cannot neglect one side and say that it doesn't matter. We can't neglect the physical, and we cannot neglect the spiritual. So we're physical and we're spiritual beings. I'm going to give you just a few things tonight. In just one, two, three. Number one, if we're going to be healthy as a complete human being, we need, number one, a proper relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the new birth. Now, that's a long point, but that's an important point. We need a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the new birth. And the reason I'm being particular about that is because a lot of people will talk about God, but that doesn't mean they're saved. That doesn't mean that they've experienced the new birth. So we've got to be particular about that, because that's the only kind of relationship with God that's going to matter when you take your last breath. Have you been born again? Have you been saved by and through the Lord Jesus Christ? A lot of people will talk about God. A lot of people will say, well, God has blessed me. A lot of people say, well, God helps me make touchdowns or drive a race car or score points or something like that. You know, a lot of people talk about God. That does not mean that they really know the Lord. A lot of people might say, well, the Lord's blessed me and He's given me many years of health upon the earth. And they would attribute that to the Lord. But James chapter 2 verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So find somebody that talks about God, that doesn't mean that they know God. They just might be religious. Nicodemus was like that. Nicodemus was a religious man. He would say amen to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. God breathed upon man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Nicodemus wouldn't have any problem with that whatsoever. He'd say, amen, I believe that. But the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. So first and foremost, when we're talking about the spiritual man and taking care of the spiritual side of our bodies, our lives, we need saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is first and foremost. Dime a dozen, you can find people that say they believe in God. That doesn't mean they know Christ is their Savior. That does not mean they've been born again. So that's number one. We need a proper relationship with God by and through the Lord Jesus Christ through the new birth. So that's first. That's most important tonight when we're talking about the spiritual side of man. But if we're talking about our health also, secondly, we need a proper relationship with the Word of God. We need a proper relationship with the Word of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. We'll start there tonight. We're going to look at some different passages of Scripture, some different verses. And I will say, while you're finding Proverbs chapter number 3, there's a lot of things the Bible says about your health that I have not said. We've studied 9 weeks. There's a lot in here. But let's just begin in Proverbs chapter number 3. Let's read verses 1 and 2 just to point out some things. Verse 1 said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. That's the word of God. Everybody, you see that. You understand that. Look what he said in verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. There is health, and the secret to long life can be found in the Word of God. Did you know that? A lot of things we could say along those lines. Promises that God has given. Just one that comes to mind that I hadn't thought of earlier, but the first promise with life is that children obey their parents in the Lord. God said, I'll give you long life if you'll do that. The world cannot make a promise like that, but God can. It's His Word. Look at verse number 8. It's talking down through here about the Word of God. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. There's no way to spiritualize that and say that's just talking about the spiritual man. No, that is talking about the physical life. That health to thy navel, that's talking about overall well-being. And when it's talking about marrow to thy bones, that's talking about your physical health. The Word of God. Look down in verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. That's the wisdom you find in the Word of God. Verse 16, again, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Length of days, long life, it's talking about. Look at chapter 4, verse number 22. And there's a lot of places in the book of Proverbs along these lines. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, talking about, again, about the Word of God. Verse 20, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? Verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Their flesh, that's your physical body. Do you believe what the Bible says? A lot of people say, oh yeah, I believe what the Bible says. But if you don't know what the Bible says, then it's not going to do you any good, is it? But if we'll know what the Bible says, believe what the Bible says, obey what the Bible says, then there is literally health and long life in the pages of the Bible. But you need to know what the Bible says. And so there's a great study in the Bible. We need a proper relationship with the Word of God. I want you to write these things down, those of you that are taking notes. I'm just going to give you some scriptures to study on your own, but I would put it like this. If I was sick, what would I look at in relation to the Bible? If I was sick, number one, I would ask myself this, am I violating scriptural principles in the Bible? If I'm sick, I want to know why I'm sick, because I want to get better. First thing I'm going to ask myself, am I violating some scriptural principle in the Bible? The Bible says in Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's across the board. That applies to everybody. So am I doing something that's making me sick? There's all kinds of ways to kill yourself. You can jump off a cliff. You could use a gun. You could use a rope. You could jump in front of a train. There's people does that. You could overdose on pills. You could do all kinds of things. You could drink yourself to death. You could park in a garage and carbon monoxide from a running vehicle will kill you. Or you could do it with a fork and a spoon and a knife. And there's a lot of people out here that they're killing themselves with a fork and a spoon and a knife. So am I violating something from the Word of God that's making me sick? Am I making some choice? Do I have some habit in my life that is violating? Am I defiling the temple of the Holy Ghost? It's making me sick. Number one, that's what I'd ask myself. Number two, if I was sick, I would look and study out what the Bible says about fasting. Well, the Bible says about fasting. And I might come along later and preach or teach on what the Bible says about fasting, but study this out. Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to give you one verse, verse number 8. He's talking there about physically fasting, abstaining from food. It said, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily." Fasting in the Bible is prescribed in order to restore health. And there's all kinds of people that have been diagnosed with all kinds of diseases and things, cancers and other infirmities that have fasted literally their way back to health. And the reason they've done that is because they've read and studied what the Bible says about fasting. Fasting is abstaining from food. And boy, I'll tell you, in our modern society, that's one of the last things anybody wants to do is to not eat. Because we're so used to eating. The only thing we want fast is we want our food fast. So we go through a drive-through and get our food, and well, we want it quickly. Because we got to get back on the road. But the Bible has a lot to say about fasting. I would study what the Bible says. And we could say, you know, an animal, first thing it does when it gets sick, it stops eating. And that will, and I have experienced this in my own life, start getting a sore throat, quit feeding that bacteria. Just go off of food and just get better. If you don't feed it, it won't grow. And you could study about fasting. There's a lot of people's experiences, and they've had good results with fasting. Number three, I don't know why people don't do this more. They don't do what the Bible says in James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and I preached through the book of James last year, so I'm not going to go all through this again, but what the Bible says about the prayer of faith and anointing with oil. I don't know why people don't avail themselves of that more often. The Bible said in James 5 and verse 15, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." But many times the last thing that we do is try prayer. I mean, we'll real quickly run to the doctor, get a diagnosis, start going through everything the doctor says, and maybe as a last resort, but why not a first resort? If I was real sick, if I quickly got sick and wasn't getting better, I'd do what the Bible says. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. And verse 15 says, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick." People don't do that, and I don't understand why. But I would do that if I was sick. Number four, I would examine my life for known sin. Look in Psalms chapter 38. Do you know that sin will make you sick? If I was sick, and you know, not everybody that gets sick has sin in their life. You can get sick. I mean, it is a natural part of life. We're all going to get sick. So I'm not being like Job's friend tonight and saying, if you're sick, it's because of sin. Because God allows sickness sometimes to come into our lives, and I've already preached on that. At the very beginning, sometimes sickness comes, and it's for the glory of God. But we do find in the Bible that sin can make you sick. And in Psalms chapter number 38, there is an example of King David. And King David was very sick. And if you study about Psalms chapter number 38, this took place after David had went into Bathsheba. And I believe that David picked up, he got something. I believe he picked up a venereal disease after he had gone into Bathsheba, and it about killed him. Say, preacher, really? Let's read some verses here. Psalms chapter number 38. And you can read the whole thing when you get home, but this sin made him sick, whatever it was. Verse number 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. Look what he says. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Did you see that? Verse 4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. He had done something that had made him very sick. I am troubled, verse 6, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. That's why I said what I said. And there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Boy, he's in a mess. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. He's sick. He's very sick. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand aloof. Afar off. He was so sick that the people around him, they said, I don't know if I'd go in there if I was you. I believe I'd keep my distance. I don't know what King David's got, but I don't want what he's got. That's what they were saying. David's sick. And he knows why he's sick. My sin, my foolishness, my iniquity. He knew what had made him sick. Well, verse 17, let's skip on down. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. You know, David repented. And this goes right along with Psalms chapter number 51, if you study that out. You gotta, no matter what anybody thinks about David, I have respect for David because he didn't go on and on in his foolishness till he killed him. He came to the place where he said, I'm sorry for my sin. He repented, and you know what? God healed him. God raised him up. But sin can make you sick. In fact, there's a lot of people that are sick because of sin. So what do you do about it? You need to repent. And David did repent. So I would examine my life for known sin. Therefore, there are four quick things that I would do if I was sick. And so we've said you have to have a proper relationship with God. And then you need to have a proper relationship with His Word. What does His Word say about being sick, being healthy? Length of days. Quality of life. The Word of God has a great deal to say about it. I've given you several things. But number three, I would say this for the last thing tonight. I would say we need a positive mental outlook. That'll help you be healthy. Look in Psalms chapter 42. You're in chapter 38. Let's look over in Psalms 42. We need a positive mental outlook. And I'm not trying to be, who was the fellow years ago, Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. I'm not going that far, because he actually had some heretical things that he taught, and there's a very well-known book years ago. He's passed away now, but there's a book by that name, The Power of Positive Thinking. And so we're not going along with everything that he would say, but the Bible does teach that there is power in a positive outlook, and we ought to have. Boy, if God's people do not have a positive outlook, who can? Who does? The world doesn't have anything to look forward to. Well, Psalms 42, verse 5. The psalmist said this, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Don't you think that could be depression? "And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Now look down in verse number 11. Verse number 11 is very, it's not exactly the same, but it's very close. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That's the same. "And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him." All that's the same up to this point. Then he says, "Who is the health of my countenance and my God?" Your countenance is your outlook. He said in verse number 5, He's the help of His countenance. And in verse number 11, he says, He's the health of my countenance. He's going to help me have a better outlook. Chapter 43 and verse number 5, again, it says this, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." He's the health. You want a healthy outlook on life? Have your look in God. That'd give you a healthy outlook. That'd give you a positive outlook if we'd simply keep our eyes upon the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody say, "You are what you think"? Or something along those lines. "You are what you think you are." Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, if you go around all the time saying, I'm sick," you're probably going to be sickly. If that's your outlook. And I've seen this firsthand. I'm not throwing off on her, but my grandmother Greer, the older she got, the more convinced in her mind she was that she was sick. And you know what? She was very sickly. But any time you ask her how she was, it was not good. And she was one of those that you just tried not to say, "How are you doing?" And even if you were sick, she was sicker. You know, we all know people like that. Her sick could outdo your sick. Didn't matter how sick you were. Now, if that's your outlook on life, I promise you, you're going to end up sick. You may not, your sickness is starting in your mind. And there's a danger to always being sick. I am very reluctant to say I'm sick. I try not to even say them words. If I feel like I'm getting sick, I'd rather say I think I'm fighting a cold. See the difference there? Instead of surrendering to it and saying I'm sick, instead of doing that, I'm fighting it. I want to be fighting it. I might be trying to get a cold, but instead of trying to get a cold, I'm trying not to get a cold. I'm trying not to get sick. If I feel it coming on, I try to do things not to get sick. I'll take vitamin C. I'll take other things. I'll try not to get sick. I don't want to be that way. Sometimes you can't help it. Now, I was S-I-C-K last week, but I couldn't help it. But I was trying to get better. Somebody said, "How are you?" I said, "I'm about 85%. That's pretty good. I'm gaining on it. I'm getting better. I really think that makes a difference. If you just surrender to it and, you know, I think we need to fight these things. Your mind is a very powerful tool. I'm not being unscriptural in saying that. Proverbs 15 verse 13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." By sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. If you get a broken spirit, you're going to be sick. It's going to catch up with you physically. Proverbs 15 verse 15 says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil." Think about that. Affliction is a word that's used in relation to our health. Being afflicted with a disease, being afflicted with a sickness. And the Bible says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil." How are you today? Not good. Not good. Awful. Bad. Sick. Terrible. You think about that. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Some people never have a good day. Never have a day of feeling better. Fight it with your mind. It might be all you got. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's free medicine, by the way. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. When I know I've told this, I'll quickly tell it again. When I first started pastoring, if I went to see somebody that was sick, especially very sick, I thought, well, I need to be real serious. I need to be real sober and not make a crack of a smile or anything. This is real serious. It's not a time to be smiling or laughing about anything. So you go see somebody. That's how Job's three friends were. They went to see him with a long face. I just sort of thought, well, maybe that's not right. But the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you are sick and you smile, it'll make you feel better. Now, I'm not a jokester, but I'm not going to act like life has ended. In fact, if we would smile and laugh, it's like a medicine. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. That affects you physically. I found something I'm going to read for you. It's in a healthy cookbook, or a cookbook that I've got that's got healthy recipes in it. But a little paragraph, it said this: "If you realize how powerful your thoughts are, you would never think a defeatist or negative thought. Since we create through thought, we need to concentrate very strongly on positive thoughts. If you think you can't do something, you can't." And boy, that's true. If you think you can't do something, you can't. I don't care what it is. If it's casting a fishing pole. If you think, well, I can't do that, yeah, that's right. You might as well not even try. Your thoughts are very powerful. If you think you can do something, you'd be surprised. And that's what it says. But if you think you can, you may be surprised to discover that you can. Now, when I went in the military, my dad gave me some very good advice. He said, "Son, there's a lot of things in life you can just bluff your way through." Is that good advice? If you just act like you can do something, just say, "Yes, I can." So when I got over there and they said, "Can you drive a truck?" I said, "You better believe I can drive a truck." I couldn't drive a truck, not an 18-wheeler. That's what he was asking. I said, "My dad's a truck driver." Now, I had pulled it up and backed it up. But does that mean you can drive a truck? I got to drive all over Germany in an 18-wheeler. And they don't know to this day. I didn't know what I was doing. I just acted like I did. I just really thought I could drive that truck. And we went out there in the parking lot and he put a 60-foot trailer on a tractor and trailer. and said, pull that thing up and back it up. Boy, I done it just like I thought like I could, and I did. If you think you can and try, you might be surprised what you can do. If you think you're getting better, don't you know that's better than thinking you're getting sick? Because our minds are very powerful things. They affect our bodies. It is important that our thoughts be constantly for the best that could happen in a situation, for the good things we would like to see happen. So your mind is very powerful. And it is scriptural to have a merry heart, to not be like the afflicted in our thoughts. Many, many studies have been done on the bad impact of negative thinking. If somebody gets cancer, one of the things they want to do, they want them to try to have a positive outlook. They want to say, now, you need to have the right attitude about it. You can lick this. And if somebody has a positive attitude, far more percentage that they will get better, that they will overcome, than somebody that just resigns themselves to dying right off the bat. That's probably exactly what they're going to do. Negative emotions, things like worry, fear, envy, hatred, jealousy, guilt, all of these things, they sap strength out of us, and that'll make you sick because your spiritual man affects your physical man. There's no way around that. It's not God's will for us to go through life with all this extra baggage. It will eventually make you sick. Say, preacher, does the Bible teach that? Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4, and great verses, verse 6, verse 7 about prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What you think about does affect you greatly. It gets into your physical body, negative things. It'll make you sick. Well, I'm going to close where I started. I think I started in 3 John verse number 2 when we very first started this study. John said this. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, I'm not preaching that we'll never be sick. And I've said that many times. We're all going to go through times in our life where we're sick. That's just part of life. But I believe most of the time we're more sick than we ought to be. We are sick more often than we ought to be. And the desire of the Lord and the desire and the teaching from the Word of God, John said that he wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I believe that's God's will for us. That not that we go through life sickly, but that we go through life as much as possible being healthy. That's the desire that we see in the Word of God. So we've studied this and we've all been sick in the past 4 or 5 months, surely we'd say, boy, I'd rather be healthy than be sick. If you've not had whatever's been going around, you're highly favored and blessed. You ought to thank the Lord, because it's a humdinger. It'll put you down quick. But I'm thankful for the healing hand of the Lord. So we've studied this. I hope you've got something out of it. If each of us would maybe just take some of these things I've taught and just change one or two things, we might be surprised how it helped us. And I know it's been strung out over almost 4 months, but surely we remember enough or we can go back and get something good out of the study. So I hope you got something out of it. I've enjoyed studying it. And really pray for me. I've got a couple of things I've been thinking about. I really like to study books of the Bible. And so maybe the Lord will let us pretty soon get into a book in the Bible. So help me pray about that. All right, I'm done tonight.